Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
That then takes us to the regular agenda. We have one item here. It's the approval of conveyance documents for the medical examiner facility as approved in the four county interlocal agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have met with Brad and discussed this. I haven't supported this from the beginning and I'm not gonna support it now. And so I'm gonna vote no on it, so.
All right.
I'm confused. You're not, I didn't know why you're voting against it.
Okay, here we go. So, that's just kind of a little bit of the beginning here. You have Santa Rosa County Commission Chairman Sam Parker introducing the item to, you know, just one of these last voting measures on the allocating the funding for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Facility that's going to be right off of Avalon in Santa Rosa County, the culmination of many, many years of negotiations between the counties and the medical examiner and whatever. And then James Calkins just kind of says, I'm not going to vote for it. I'm always opposed to it. And Kerry Smith, James Calkins, District 3 Commissioner, and Kerry Smith, District 2 Commissioner, that's like East Milton, he says, I don't know, I'm kind of confused. Can you say why? Those of us who saw this coming, because we watched the, well, we know the backdrop here, but because also we watched the commission meeting where James Calkins basically asked to move the thing off of consent and move it onto the regular agenda, and know that, again, the backdrop here, but we're going to get it all here. You're not going to have to know anything much to understand this story. James Calkins says, well, I'll tell you why I oppose it.
Issue began. We had a former county administrator, Dan Schiebler, that started this process while he was county administrator, and he set himself up a job for the medical examiner, and he ended up leaving.
he ended up leaving. Well, you tried to get him fired, sir, for petty personal reasons. Masquerading as his inaccurate statement about whether they had filed for a grant application under the small county, I think it's outreach plan, SCOP funds. Anyway, the truth of that matter is that they didn't file because they thought it was a better choice not to waste resources on something they weren't going to get anyway. But this a couple of years ago led to a massive brouhaha in Santa Rosa County, orchestrated and led by James Calkins to oust Dan Schiebler. It's not Schiebler. And in the end, they didn't fire him, but he left anyway a couple of months later. But what James is saying now is he orchestrated for himself a new job at the District 1 Medical Examiner Service. Yeah, he was trying to leave. He was trying to get out of the, stop it. Anyway, okay, so this is for him. It's all personal. He doesn't, and I've said this so many times, that his opposition to the District 1 Medical Examiner's Facility is not about principle, it's not about being a good conservative or anything else, it's just that he hates Dan Schiebler. And that because he hates Dan Schiebler, he will do anything he can to stop us from getting, you know, a necessary building in which one of the key law enforcement functions for the four-county District 1 actually functions, because none of that matters to him, he just wants to jab Dan Schiebler in whatever way he possibly can, even after he's no longer the county county administrator. Okay, so that's his explanation. And then he's going to throw some other smoke up here.
My take on it had to do with taxpayer money being spent on this. I don't believe that this is going to be good for Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, why would we want like a new professional facility instead of in the basement where the leaks and the problems that we have shown you from the Sacred Heart operation that the District on Medical Examiner works in right now? You know, why would that be good for Santa Rosa County?
Like I said,
by the way, in case you think this is about principle or some real argument or whatever, pay attention to what he says here, okay?
Like I said, I wasn't going to go into all of it. You know, the former county administrator that, you know, put on this board with staff to try to do gender neutral stuff. He also
the what?
Came out and just recently held a fundraiser for our great Congressman Matt Gaetz's opponent. And I just don't think that this gentleman represents the values of Santa Rosa County, and I don't believe that his agenda fits the agenda of Santa Rosa County.
Okay, so Dan Schebler has offered to support the guy who's running in a primary against Matt Gaetz. Dan Schebler allegedly supports some gender-neutral agenda. I don't know about all that, but okay, even if it's true, you know, sometimes in arguing, what you do is you grant your opponent their premises and then show how they're still wrong, okay? Because then the premises don't even matter. Let's imagine that it's true. Let's imagine that Dan Schebler is somehow, you know, interested in, you know, I don't know, the LGBTQ's best dream version of whatever. I'm not sure how that's relevant to the medical examiner's office or anything else, but okay, let's say it's true. And also he supports an alternate Republican in the primary against Matt Gaetz. Do either one of those things justify denying funds to build a facility that he is the operations guy for, in which the medical examiner does investigations for, you know, things like murders, and then is able or not able to present evidence at, you know, murder trials? Does either one of those things justify that opposition? Or is this a, you know, we have ethics rules in Florida that prohibit you from using your office for personal benefit or benefit of other people. We don't specifically have an ethics rule that prohibits you from using your office to harm people that you don't like, right? You can't help people you do like, but there's no specific rule against harming people that you don't like. But it's ugly, right? It's clearly unethical to use your political power that way. It's very common. Tragic. That's probably why we don't have an ethics rule against it. But this is terrible. His reason is that he doesn't like Dan Schebler.
From the beginning, I didn't believe this was going to be good. I think that Walton County pays less than we pay. I don't think it's fair for Santa Rosa County.
I know, maybe because they have 900 deaths a year and Santa Rosa has 2,000. I mean, it could be that Okaloosa has 2,000 and Escambia has 4,000 and Walton has 900, and maybe there should be some, you know, reduced cost for a county that only has half the people, 90,000 to 200,000. I mean, maybe that's part of the reason.
They have a medical examiner facility in Escambia County already. I always thought that we should, you know, put money into that facility, fix it up.
Have you ever been there, sir? Or even if you haven't been there, have you watched the news or watched my videos or listened to our conversations with Deanna Oleski about this? Because nobody in their right mind who has actually seen the facility would say, oh, no, it's fine. Just put a little bit of money into that. Everything will be good. Okay, so Sam Parker, to his credit, says, come on, man.
I really didn't want to have any discussion on this, but
He asked.
James throws in, he asked, so I explained it. Well, I'm glad you, because I had always speculated this, right? I'd always said, I don't have evidence to prove that it's just personalities, except that seems the most likely thing. So I'm glad he came out and admitted that this is all about a personal grudge between him and Dan Schebler.
May have been unintentional, but now I'm going to take a couple minutes to tell anybody that may have heard Commissioner Calkins' statements why I will be voting for it.
So the medical examiner, the old one that we had in 2019, Okaloosa County Sheriff Eric Aiden, I think it was Eric Aiden at the time, but the Okaloosa County Sheriff opposed the ME when they asked, the state basically asked you if you like your ME, and usually it's a pro forma thing that you say yes, and he said no, and the ME left. So then we didn't have a medical examiner, and that's a problem. And of course, as a former law enforcement, Sam knows well the problem.
You cannot prosecute the murderer if you don't have a competent medical examiner, because there is no way to have an autopsy report with the cause of death and the evidence for the case.
And in fact, that job is extraordinarily hard to fill. There's a shortage in the nation right now of MEs.
At the time, State Attorney Bill Edens asked me to join the Medical Examiner Search Committee, along with the chairman of the boards of all four counties, as well as we had sheriffs there. And we met time and time and time again. We even hired consultants because we could not get a single person to even apply for the job. We found that, unless things have changed, that is the number one occupation in the country that has a shortage. There are, I don't remember the number, but it was close to, I want to say, like 100 vacancies around the county for every one available medical examiner. Quite frankly, we did everything short of getting on our knees and begging someone to come here.
And after all of that, by the way, he meant country in 100 vacancies. After all of that, the one that, there were two candidates. There was one that went to California, and Deanna Oleski came here.
Extremely thankful for her taking this position because, again, our law enforcement could not do their job without a medical examiner.
That's exactly right. So how is all that relevant to the new facility? Well, one of the problems we had in recruiting somebody to come here was the crappy facility that exists right now. That's completely inadequate, terrible, and needs to be replaced.
I sat on that medical examiner search committee right beside State Attorney Bill Edens, right beside our member Commissioner Lumen May at the time, I believe Commissioner Anderson from Walton County, and I forgot who was there from Okaloosa County. And we gave our word as a collective body representing four counties with sheriffs in the room, that when she said one premise to her taking this job is that we had to commit to building a new medical facility.
That was part of the deal of her agreeing to come here, is we would do this. And for those of you who've been following this and know from the history, then we didn't for many years for a variety of reasons, including incomprehensible opposition from the Escambia County Commission. That was then all brought to a head when Deanna Oleski showed up at the county commission meeting with some employees and said, hey, you guys need to fix this and solve this. And then we had the what I interpret as a retaliatory conspiracy by, in part, Commissioner Berry with a couple of funeral directors to defame her. That was all an issue last year. And then it turns out that, we had one of the funeral directors recanted his view of that. And, there's now a lawsuit against those funeral directors that currently does not name Stephen Berry or Jeff Bergosh for bringing it to light on his blog. But, you never know what might come in the future. So she's been embroiled in that ever since. And so for simply asking them to follow through on what they promised, she got attacked completely unjustifiedly. And Sam Parker says, look, we made a promise. It's that simple.
Anything outside of what I just described to me is irrelevant to this situation. It is the fact that four counties made a commitment that we were going to do this, because I will tell you, if we don't do this, we won't have a medical examiner. She will gladly walk away, go somewhere, probably get paid more money, because I would not expect anyone to continue employment for an employer that did something and then did not follow through with what they promised.
Correct. Correct. And by the way, her reputation has been now, even though, again, unjustifiedly and, exonerated, still it's out there. You know what I mean? Once you throw the dirt, it's hard to take the dirt off. Going somewhere else is not really an option. Just so you know. She probably could, but, it'd be unpleasant too. Plus, she's, new mom and all this stuff. So who wants to do that? Okay. So Sam explains the reason Walton has lower costs is because they have fewer deaths. Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, and Escambia all have the same cost share, and then Walton has less. It's like 28, 28, 28, and 15. And I know that doesn't add up to 100%, but that's because there's a little bit of money that was put in initially. So James Calkins, hearing all of this, says,
yeah, I just want to say that y'all made a promise to that group. I wasn't involved in that. I didn't make a promise. And
oh my God.
I fully expect you to honor your word. And so, you all gave your word, and I say go with it. But I didn't give my word on this issue. I've been opposed to this from day one, and I'm opposed to it now.
But the county promised her, sir.
But I got outvoted, and I respect the will and the majority of the board. on this issue.
What does that mean? I respect your will, but I'm not going to vote for what your will promised an employee, somebody to whom we have financial obligations. What does that even mean, I respect it? That means nothing. It's lip service.
I was asked a question on why I'm against it. I don't want my name on this issue. But I do respect the decision of the majority of the board, and I do respect y'all giving your word and keeping your word.
I almost want to ask, does he understand what the ME does? And that this is a public safety issue. This is a law enforcement issue. This is a vital part of law enforcement government that he's choosing not to fund out of a personal grievance, not even against the ME, but against the ME's operations director. Colton Wright clarified this all.
I wasn't sitting in the seat when Commissioner Parker was on that search committee, but I have an obligation to stand up for it now, as do every one of us. And I wholeheartedly support it. It's unfortunate we were having a discussion on this, but since the door was open, I felt like I at least had to say my piece. But absolutely, it's a public safety issue.
It absolutely is a public safety issue. So supposedly law and order conservative James Calkins won't fund this thing because he doesn't like the guy who works there. Let that sink in a little bit. 526 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
We used to argue about whose turn it was to clean the gutters, but then I had Leaf Filter Gutter Protection installed.
Wait, I told you Leaf Filter had free inspections and estimates and a lifetime guarantee.
Meaning we never have to argue about whose turn it is to clean the gutters again.
But I visited leaffilter.com/beacon first.
No, I did.
It doesn't matter who. Visit leaffilter.com/beacon to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go. But the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're one ugly mother...
I know you cannot see this because, you know, radio is an auditory medium, but both John Pickens and David Wayne, like, perked up their heads, stuck them out of the gopher hole, and were like, what's about to happen here?
I know what's about to happen.
I know this quote. This quote doesn't end well for us as an FCC license holder. It'll be okay.
Okay.
Trust Andrew. It'll be all right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, fresh off a trip to North Korea, Russian President Vladimir Putin is now in Vietnam. He met with Vietnamese President To Lam. Lam hailed the trip as an opportunity to bolster a comprehensive strategic partnership. Mount St. Helens might be recharging. Since February 1st, there have been over 350 small earthquakes with a magnitude of less than 2. Since February 1st, there have been over 350 small, less than magnitude 2 earthquakes. And seismologists say that could mean that magma is now moving into the chambers beneath the volcano.
Okay, so Mount St. Helens got the jitters. Fantastic.
That's right. Yeah, it's getting ready again. And Louisiana is now the first state to officially require the Ten Commandments be displayed in all public classrooms. A new law calling for a poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments in all classrooms from kindergarten through public universities by the beginning of next year.
Yeah, and there's a sort of a not a disclaimer, but there's kind of a contextual explanation paragraph that goes with it. They also say they can post if they want, like the Mayflower Compact and the Northwest Ordinance and some other things along with it as historical documents context. Of course, this is going to be litigated. Of course, the Supreme Court is going to issue a ruling on this because they previously said you can't do this, but a little bit different law and a little bit different context. And also, of course, good.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Debate night just 1 week away. President Biden leaves today for Camp David to prep for the huge event. He leaves the Oval Office buoyed by a new Fox News poll.
President Biden leading former President Trump by 2 points in a head-to-head matchup, which is within that margin of error. But most voters still don't trust the president on these key issues. The new polls show former President Trump leading on immigration, the economy, the Israel-Hamas war, guns, and standing up to elite interests.
Fox's Brooke Singman, harsh weather from the first tropical storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. Alberto carries heavy rain, flash flooding, storm surge to South Texas, the coastal bend, and southeast Texas as well. It's still about 250 miles up the coast of Galveston. That from the National Hurricane Center. Texas Governor Greg Abbott issuing a disaster declaration for 51 counties. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 77 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. A 32-year-old Pensacola man charged for a shooting in Escambia County on Monday morning. Roderick Rivers was arrested on Tuesday afternoon on charges of attempted homicide and vehicle theft. According to the sheriff's office, deputies made contact with the victim on early Monday morning at a local hospital. The victim said the shooting took place at North Green and West Jackson. No other details on that incident have been released as of yet. Two employees are suing Walt Disney Company for canceling plans to build a campus in Orlando. The companies filed that lawsuit this week in California. They say they moved to Florida after Disney announced 3 years ago they were opening a billion-dollar campus in Lake Nona. Those plans fell through last year. Disney cited a leadership change and the economy. The plaintiffs say they are still struggling with the impact of moving from California to Florida. They're both planning to move back to California, but the real estate market there has priced them out since they left. Well, if you've got homeowners insurance through the state's insurer of last resort, Citizens Property Insurance, get ready for a rate increase. The company's Board of Governors approved a rate hike yesterday.
We're going to recommend 14% increase for everyone in Dayton. And you can see a similar situation in Broward, so we're recommending 14%.
The Citizens Board of Governors making that approval yesterday. The rate hike will still have to go through the State Office of Insurance Regulation, but if that gets approved, the increase would take effect January 1st of next year. Escambia County's Tourism Development Committee is scrambling to use a loophole to get around a state statute of how funds are spent by organizations. During this week's TDC meeting, Assistant County Attorney Kristen Hewell said that four organizations, ACE, Pensacola Sports, Pensacola Mardi Gras, and African American Heritage, use TDC dollars for administrative costs while not acting as DMOs.
They have not been designated as a destination marketing organization or tourism bureau. Those would be unauthorized expenditures under the statute. And because they do a lot of tourism marketing, mostly sports tourism, that's what they do, the county could designate them as a sports tourism marketing organization and continue the program as it has been.
That was the suggestion from committee chair David Baer. The board did unanimously agree to pass the issue on to the Board of County Commissioners for a resolution. Commissioner Jeff Bergosh, who serves on the committee, seemed to suggest that even if the board did take that action, the payments could still potentially be withheld. It is 534 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
this afternoon. Breezy to windy conditions, and we're going to see high temps around 90 or 91. Right on target, the usual high is about 91 degrees. Scattered storms will show up, not too many. The chance is 40%. Heading into this evening, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-70s. Tomorrow looks mostly sunny at 92, and I think by tomorrow, the wind should calm down some. The chance of rain on Friday, just 10%, sitting back around 30% over the weekend with the low 90s. I'm meteorologist Christian Garman for WEAR-TV.
And right now, we've got 77 degrees in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. In a new projection from the Congressional Budget Office, the federal budget deficit, or the gap between government revenue versus spending, will be $1.9 trillion for the 2024 fiscal year. The deficit forecast is $400 billion higher than the CBO's last estimate in February. The CBO cites a handful of reasons for the increase, which include foreign aid packages for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, increasing Medicaid spending, and bank failures. The iconic brand Tupperware is closing its factory in South Carolina, which will result in nearly 150 people losing their jobs. The South Carolina plant's manufacturing operations will be transitioned to the company's Lerma, Mexico plant, leaving no U.S.-based factories left for the company. Tupperware manufactures preparation, storage, and serving containers and was founded in 1946. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Very, very heavy rain here at the radio station. As a matter of fact, I believe our building is even out of power right now.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to our Pensacola Mayor, D.C. Reeves. It was Juneteenth, so of course, I wished him a happy Juneteenth. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Yeah,
Yeah, thank you. Hey, good morning. Same to you.
Absolutely. I got a lot of like checkup kind of questions I want to run through with you. One is somebody asked me, what's the status of the red light cameras? I know they're still not operable yet, but any idea when?
Yeah, I'll try to go rapid fire for you today, see if we can cover as much ground as we can. But so quickly, on schedule as normal, infrastructure being put in some point this summer. So we're still looking at a late July, early August at last check. We had a couple complications with a couple intersections that needed a little more TLC and getting the technology in, but nothing major at all. So we still on schedule.
Okay, very good. So that's all we're waiting on, just getting the thing done, essentially. Bay Bluffs Park, obviously big news that it got funded, but what's the time frame for when we might be able to actually go out there and use it again?
Yeah, it's a good question. We don't. I'd hate to give one at this point because we don't have one. I don't want to, overpromise. So next step will be, I'll tell you this, though, we'll be getting with Conservation Florida. We're setting up a meeting now. Obviously, they're a big part of this grant and what the future is going to be, and they've done this before. They'll have a lot of expertise. But so two important things now. One is we're working on what that timeline will be, and two is, yes, we will have some community engagement as it pertains to what we want to see. But we got to get our arms around, one, how is this going to be executed financially? Who's cutting checks? Who's doing all of that? We got to get that figured out with Conservation Florida. And then once we're ready for that community engagement, that's what we'll take on.
And is it a given that the existing wood structure, boardwalk, stairs and all will all be removed and demolished, some be removed and demolished, some be rehabbed, or we really just don't know yet?
Of the answers you just asked, I guess I would say it's a given that some will be, for sure. It could be all of the stuff that's going up and down where the pavilions up top are saved. I mean, it's just too early to say. All we know about it right now is it's not fixable, and we didn't have a budget for it. You know, we've got to really fix it in a better way. So no decisions have been made on that yet. We're going to get some experts in there, you know, take a close look. And of course, if there's value to be extracted from saving a part of it that still provides value for the park long term, of course, we'll look at that. So so just too early to say at this point.
Your goal is as much access within the parameters of the conservation status so that people can enjoy it and that we can afford it. All of that is all yes, right?
That's correct. We want the best experience possible that also has a mind on maintenance that we didn't have 40 years ago.
Right.
And all of those other things as well. You know, it will be a new park in that sense. I believe there'll be new assets at this park that don't exist now. And there might be some assets that are gone now from now that won't exist in the future. So we're looking at all of those factors to make sure that the mayor 40 years from now isn't having the same issue I'm having.
I've been wanting to talk to you with you about this for about a month now. My wife and I went paddleboarding out by Tahar, and we went out by the boat launch graffiti bridge, went all the way out to the old 3 mile bridge and, you know, kind of the fishing pier and whatnot. And the one thing that it reminded me of is looking over at Wayside Park is still just a giant hot mess. I mean, it looks terrible. All the railings are broken. Yep. The concrete's broken, as you well know. And then on the other side, the Hobo Beach has got the big fencing up for the dredge spoil drop site, where it's not even that, you know, you shouldn't go there. It's that you really can't go there except for just the narrow strip of beachfront over on the south side towards the water. Status of Wayside Park and or long-term plans, if any, for Hobo Beach?
Yes. So I'll start with Wayside Park. Remember, that was a much debate, a debate that the city has not won in terms of how much value should be, how many dollars we should be getting from FEMA for a replacement of that seawall. We've been going back and forth. This precedes this administration, years and years.
Yep.
Post-Sally conversation. Did a barge hit it? Was it the hurricane itself? All of that. So
a barge hit it. I saw it.
Again, they sent us to the barge. The barge sent us to the hurricane.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the best short way I can encapsulate. It's a confusing mess in terms of, you know, getting recouping funding for it. So it really means we're going to be having to look for other opportunities. So here's where we are at Wayside. Everything from the boat launch north to the train trestle walk under, the chimes for the graffiti bridge, the redoing and repaving of that parking lot that's in great disrepair, and the boat launch itself that's in disrepair, all of that is moving forward. Okay. So that will be underway this fall. And so if you just draw that line, anything north of basically the boat launch, including getting under the graffiti bridge.
Yeah, the boardwalk around the walkway around, which has long been planned, and I'm excited to hear about that. Okay, so that's going forward.
All that's going. We're good on everything north. Everything south, number one, of course, is the significant expense is the seawall itself,
right. You know,
millions of dollars. However, we're really just biding our time because, most importantly, any day now, any week, you can ask Wes, maybe next time you have him on for the exact date, but they're starting the fishing pier, which is owned by the county.
Right.
When you get to the bridge, the foot of the bridge, that becomes county property. So, you know, a $20+ million fishing bridge replacement, I'm not really in a big rush to go repave that parking lot for trucks to run it over for the next 2 years. So ultimately, the south side of Wayside really is going to be a laydown yard for a $20 million bridge project. So, you know, that doesn't mean we aren't going to have plans to fix it and what come back as. But if we had the money today, it would be short-sighted of us to go spend a bunch of it on infrastructure of which the public can't even access. So we really don't
have an answer yet on that south of the boat launch portion, other than it would make no sense to do anything right now until the fishing pier gets rebuilt, and then we can have a conversation.
Correct.
Okay, talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. I had asked the question about Hobo Beach across from Graffiti Bridge, and you know, access to that site. It's currently fenced off as a dredge spoil deposit area. Historically, of course, you're not really supposed to go over there, but people do, and of course, homeless folks have historically stayed there, which is why it's called Hobo Beach. Anyway, you were saying, what's the kind of plan for that area?
Well, no, exactly what it is now. It's a dredge spoil, like you said. It's that means there's no public access. Or understand, we've got dredging happening, very important dredging for stormwater. Things like that at the bayou. So I think we have 6 of those outfalls that have already been funded and, you know, all of that. So ultimately, we're moving ahead. And yes, you're right, especially by foot. If you're over on that beach, that means you cross the trestle, which is illegal. So, you know, we're trying to do the best we can to keep that safe and secure.
I would say lightly enforced illegal,
but
fair enough. It's a little bit more robust now with the giant fence up. I mean, that does make a big difference. You made the first step, I think. It's a little hard for me to track some of the steps here, but I think we made the first step on Thursday at the Pensacola City Council meeting that we now have houses that are going to get built as part of the Community Land Trust. Is that right?
That's right. So 3 scattered site properties that we own, the city owns, that have been discussed to put housing on, I think, for many years. We partnered with the Home Builders Association, very appreciative of their support, and, of course, the Community Land Trust. So what does that mean? It means for the first time in the history of the city, there will be 3 houses controlled by the Land Trust with some oversight control from the city in terms of making sure they remain used that way or we would get them back. But ultimately, those 3 houses will be in the affordable inventory of our city for the next 99 years, at least, which many of the affordable housing projects that have happened have a runway of 5, 10, 20, maybe 30 years,
okay.
And then they can become market rate, and then we lose them to the market, right? So the idea of this is unprecedented within the city limits, is that now we'll have 3 houses that you can buy it. You can experience some of that appreciation, and you still get a portion of that appreciation as well. But it has to go to another qualified buyer at a set AMI rate. So very, very excited about this. We're talking about this concept, Andrew, as you know, with the old Malcolm Young site and other sites.
Right.
Where this could be used. But this is a great pilot for us. These first 3 homes.
And worth noting is, you know, the Community Land Trust is superintended by Habitat. The city is obviously superintending all of this. But then you have the Home Builders Association, which are donating materials and doing the building of these houses. So they're very involved in this, too, in a very generous way. So it's a kind of an all around everybody's playing kind of situation, right?
That's exactly right. And hopefully, I know that once the news got out that HBA was doing this, now there's HBAs I've heard, you know, across the region, across the country, that are going to be paying close attention as this a potential pilot for a project
right. That
HBAs may be doing all over. So I think it's good to be on the forefront of creative ideas of trying to help solve this crisis.
$7 million for the Baptist project, which we have had many, many, many conversations about. The one good note is we finally get confirmation that we've got 3 years to really figure this out. The money's not going to evaporate within a year. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, we just got that news, and as we had expected throughout this process, despite, you know, all sorts of conversations of what we could or couldn't do in a certain amount of time frame, you know, that was great news to hear that. And where we are right now is we're just merely waiting on access to the building. We'd hired our consultant, as I'd mentioned before. That's you know, our demo and abatement consultant. So we need to walk the halls and see if there's any value in potential value even in repurposing anything, or is it automatic, you know, no value. And so we want to make those assessments as quickly as possible so we can kind of figure out our direction forward. So, you know, great news on that front that we've got the funding, which means we can make this happen. And we're already starting to move on it.
And last thing, I mean, we got through almost everything. This is amazing. We never get through so many things. a new airport parking lot on the north side of the grassy knoll north of the airport where it's kind of you can't have too much stuff there, but you can put a parking lot on the north side behind the firehouse, right?
That's right. So exactly, yeah. Right behind the firehouse in that empty field there near the north runway, we've added another 300 spaces. That will be shuttled constantly. And I think it's a 30-day flat or $30 for up to 30 days. So if you're going on a long trip, you just get there a little early and you can save a lot of money by leaving the car there if you'd like. But, you know, I think as you know, Andrew, we're looking at every solution there is. You know, I said at our press conference, we had our busiest day in at least 5 years on Saturday. So, and we continue like a broken record to hear all of these records falling. So what we're looking for outside the box solutions. We're getting that parking lot. We're excited to get that parking lot up and going to 400 spaces on Tippin. That will, again, I like to remind everybody, would bring us to what our master plan called for in 2035 in terms of parking spaces. So, that's the type of growth, which is great. But we are moving as quickly as we can in terms of security, in terms of parking and everything else.
Very good. We always like to end with the lightning round. First question. Tell me something dangerous, dumb, fun-wise that you did as a kid that maybe you wouldn't make or want your own kids to do, but still you're here and you survived and it's okay.
Ooh.
Dad and mom might be listening, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Other than, like, leaving the house and with no cell phone and coming back, like, 10 hours later, hopefully, I don't think we're going to do that anymore like I used to.
Yeah,
maybe
no.
Maybe paintball would be a close second.
Okay, all right. When you're buying things at the grocery store or the big box or wherever, if the price is wrong, do you complain about it or do you just let it go?
Man, it probably it depends on the dollar amount and how long the line is behind me.
Gotcha.
I think it's a combo of that. I mean, it's got to be, you know, if it's 10 cents or something like that, I don't want to inconvenience, you know, stop the world for it. So, you know, there's got to be a certain threshold.
If they undercharge you, have you ever notified them that you should pay more?
Has that ever happened to you? I don't know. I can't even think of a time I've been to the grocery store where they've undercharged.
It happened to me a couple of times, and they're always shocked. Oh, yeah. They're always like, what? Why would you be honest? I'm like, because aren't we citizens? Anyway, last question, can or bottle?
Ooh, man. You know what? I'm going to say can, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's my old beer days.
Craft beers come in the six pack, not in the case
exactly.
Or whatever.
A little more efficient. You know, a little more efficient. Yeah, easier to recycle.
Can't break it on the beach.
You bring it on the beach. That's exactly right.
Very good, Mayor DC Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, sir. As always, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:53 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you are thinking about maybe a career change, needing some education, or, you know, just changing fields, or if you've got maybe kids that are, you know, going to go to university and you want to do kind of a halfway, go to community college, or you got kids who are in high school and they need dual enrollment or can do dual enrollment, Pensacola State College is, I mean, a fabulous resource. And I say this from personal experience, okay? We have one of our salespeople came to me, you know, a little while back, like a month or so ago, and said, you know, can you talk about Pensacola State College? I'm like, can I? Yes. They're fantastic. We had two kids so far, and the third will go, spring, I think, maybe? And they take classes at PSC while they're in high school. That's dual enrollment. So you get high school credit and college credit for free. You don't have to pay. That's a nice bonus. And, you know, no cost for books or anything. And they get to practice, you know, at a higher educational level because they're in college classes. And then when they go to university, like two of them have so far, they take a year and a half worth of credit with them. So they're already sophomores and a half. And they've only got, you know, 2.5 to 3 years to finish up their degree after that. I mean, like, it's all good. The class sizes are small. The teachers are teaching oriented. And the administration will work with you if you have any kind of issue. The teachers will work with you. There's a variety of times available. You know, sometimes at university level, you run into, like, there's only one section of that class available in a semester. At PSC, it's like there's 5 or 10 of them. And, like, there's always options. It's just genuinely, we had a great experience with both of our kids so far at PSC. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community and is always focusing on the importance of public health awareness and preparedness. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com or follow Escambia Health Department on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Healthy Escambia.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm going deep, 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 deep undercover.
So we have, I'm on vacation next week, and one of the people that's going to be filling in for me is Dave Merzen, and a longtime friend, a former state representative, and I mean, I assume you will acknowledge that we're at least acquaintances with most people, but I don't want to put the friend label on you if we don't have
there
to.
There you go. That's probably best.
sometimes it's safer to just know Andrew McKay.
That's right. Yeah, oh, yeah, I know.
I met him once or twice. But we were listening to the ad just a minute ago where one of our news guys, Steve, was the voice, and he's our production guy, and he was explaining the, you know, X, formerly known as Twitter, okay?
Yep.
And I made the comment, like, I mean, I still do not call it X. I think it's the dumbest thing ever. But you said Elon tweeted this yesterday?
He did it yesterday.
But
yeah,
what did
he
do?
A little picture X.
Go ahead, say it.
He tweeted.
That's right.
A little picture of X and a little picture of the little blue bird and said, you know, be honest, when's the last time you called it Twitter?
Every day is the last time. Every day.
That's right.
Does he think that people call it X?
I don't think so.
I mean, and literally nobody says he X'd it.
Exactly.
You say he tweeted it.
He tweeted it.
Right. Yep. That's the point. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the punishing heat wave continues in the Northeast and the Midwest. Heat emergencies declared in several cities with potentially dangerous temperatures expected to linger for several more days. The White House reportedly canceled a high-level meeting with Israeli officials on Iran that was scheduled for today.
Axios reports that's in response to a video posted by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in which he claimed the U.S. was withholding military aid.
Meanwhile, the news out of North Korea is that Russia and North Korea have re-entered. This is kind of a long-standing off-on thing, that they have a mutual defense pact now. That if either of them gets invaded, they're obligated to help each other.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.